I hate to tell you this, but it turns out that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat. I know, very disgusting. Not only is it extremely gross, but it also leads to acne, allergies, and stuffy noses. Miracle Made offers a whole line of self-cleaning, antibacterial bedding, such as sheets, pillowcases, and comforters that prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria growth and require up to 3 times less laundry. If you get hot at night, you'll appreciate Miracle Made's self-cooling properties, which makes use of silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA. If it's good enough for the astronauts, it's good enough for me. They are thermoregulating and designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long. It makes a huge difference in getting better sleep every night. If you hate sleeping in bacteria, which I'm sure you do, or you're looking to get rid of your worn and uncomfortable bedding, you should check out Miracle Made. You'll feel like you're tucked into a luxurious hotel fancy bedding situation, but it'll be a lower cost than some of those other brands. Go to trymiracle.com/thestacks to try Miracle Made sheets for you or a lucky loved one. Order today and save over 40%. Plus, if you use our promo code THESTACKS at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product that it's backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you aren't 100% satisfied, you will get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiraclemade.com/thestacks and use the code THESTACKS to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/thestacks to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
We're back. Another episode of The Stacks. I am your host, Tracy Thomas. Before we get started today, anybody, wherever you're listening, will you please make sure you're subscribed to this show? And if you're listening through iTunes, will you rate and review the show? It goes a long way. I know it seems like a silly thing, but it really helps us to get the word out to people. Another way you can help us and support the show is by joining our Stacks Pack through Patreon. Patreon is a simple way for you to contribute to this podcast every month, and you get super cool exclusive rewards in return. Like, you get to help pick upcoming book club picks, you get to help with special announcements and giveaways, and you get your name read on the air. So our most recent members to the Stacks Pack are Gordy McCrite, Christopher Ford, Kim Park, Claire Redigzuki, Reggie Bailey, and Kara Pierce. So thank you guys so much for joining the Stacks Pack. And to the rest of you, you can join the Stacks Pack whenever you're ready. So go to patreon.com/thestacks and join us and help us, you know, keep the lights on and keep making content that you love. That's that. Okay, on to the episode. This week, our guest is Ross Asdourian. Ross is a video and film producer, and as of a few months ago, Ross is now also an author. Ross wrote his book, Broken Banana: Life, Love, and Sex Without a Penis. It's a story of that one time he broke his penis. So if you're listening with kids in the car, you may or may not want to continue. We are going to be discussing a little bit of PG-13 type stuff. In addition to talking about Ross's anatomy, we're also talking about writing your first book, self-publishing, and kind of about that process and how it went for Ross. And then, of course, we're going to talk about books that Ross loves and doesn't love and all that bookish goodness. So let us know what you think of the episode. Send us a message on Facebook or Instagram. Follow us, all those places. We're here for you. And of course, don't forget, everything we talk about this week is in the show notes, so you don't have to write anything down. It's all there for you. All right, here it is, me and Ross talking books. All right, y'all, I am here with Ross Asdourian. He is the author of a brand new book called Broken Banana. He's also a video and film producer and director. He's worked with NBC, Red Bull, some indie films. So, Ross, I'll let you do a little more intro of yourself.
Sure. Well, hello, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. I think that from a career point of view, it's been pretty non-linear, from broadcast to agency to freelance. And I would say the continuous thread has always been telling some sort of story, either of a company, of a brand, of a person, or of myself through another vehicle.
Awesome. And you're also kind of a funny guy.
Depending on who you ask.
Yeah. I think you're funny.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
He does like funny shit. anyways, so Ross wrote a book. It's called Broken Banana. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us just the title's a little provocative. So I'm just kind of curious, you know, sure. Give us a little.
Well, the book is basically a comedic memoir about sexuality. And by that, I mean, it is the story of my life and why I am the way I am, told through the time that I just so happened to break my penis.
And what were you doing when you broke your penis?
I was doing this thing called making love.
Ooh, yes. How romantic.
It was very romantic.
And, you know, my claim to fame in this book and story is that I've known Ross for years, and this happened to Ross, and I got to see him when he was in some pain. But more importantly, I got to talk to Ross when he was writing this book, and I begged for at least 20 minutes to be in the book. And guess what, people? There is a Tracy in the book.
That's right. And give the people a little description of who Tracy is.
I'm a babe nurse or something. I don't know. Yeah, a babe. I'm a total babe.
You're a foreign
I'm Irish.
Nurse babe.
Yeah. I'm an Irish babe.
Irish nurse.
Yeah. I read the paragraph like 6 times and sent everyone I knew pictures. I was like, that's me. Tracy with an I. Hello.
That's the one. Boom.
My husband's in the book twice. He's like 2 different things, which was fine. But I'm in the book once, and that was enough.
Well, because when I was recovering and I had a catheter in at our best friend's wedding, he immediately identified that something was wrong besides my cover story, which I had shared with everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a genius. Okay. So this is what's interesting to me. I've known Ross for a very long time, and he has written a million bajillion things. We've done videos together, which I will post in the show notes. But also, you just decided after this happened to you, you were going to write the book. So when did you know you were going to turn this experience into a book?
Sure. I mean, I think that I had originally written it as a short screenplay because that's what I'm most familiar with. And, you know, it kind of came to a point where I just knew there was more story to tell. And I mean, we all have a story, I think, and we all have this will to write and put it down on paper and almost create a book of history of ourselves. And that was kind of like, when this happened, I was like, oh, this is my story. And this is the narrative. And to be completely honest in the book for the ups and the downs, I think was for me when I said, okay, this is going to be my chance to create something that's truly mine, and unfiltered, encapsulate kind of my brain and my thought process so that forever and ever, amen, either people can know what went through my head or, you know, my great grandchildren are like, Grandpa Ross is filthy.
Filthy.
But I think that's, you know, it's a really powerful thing to truly be honest with yourself and sit down and write down everything from your notes, and you're almost being a journalist with yourself. What was I thinking? Who was I texting? What were those texts? How coherent was I? How embarrassing was it in these private communications? Mm-hmm. And to kind of put that down for better or worse, and then, you know, give yourself a self-reflection in something that is so intensely private is almost refreshing to put that out there without the idea of someone else, you know, having to put on the mask of someone that's wealthier than you or has a job or as a boss. You're just being you. And I think that's what's been the most freeing about it. And that was the opportunity I saw. I was like, this is in me. I have to put this out there.
Right. I love that. And in case you think that this book is all male genitalia jokes, there's also kind of a love story a little bit. And I won't give too much away, but I will say that I did read the book to see what character I was and also to read the book. But I read the book and I really liked it. And I generally don't like comedic things, period. But I actually laughed out loud and I really found it to be poignant and that you were vulnerable in a way that I was really surprised about. And that, I think, was what was most refreshing about the book is a lot of times, you know, I think comedians try to be so funny all the time. And yeah, it's like, but you're also a person. I know you have days where you're so embarrassed and your tail's between your legs. And I feel like you really nailed that and really painted pictures of people in your life that I didn't know that. Yeah. I was like, oh, I want to hang out with Ross's mom a little more. Like, I need more of
her. Shout out.
Yeah. So you self-published this. Yeah.
Yeah. Self-published.
All right, tell me about it. I want to know. I know there's so many people who listen and love reading and writing and want to be authors. So what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're in an amazing time where you can publish a book and it is possible. And I think that, you know, there's so many differing opinions. There you go, linguist. That for me, the choice was obvious, but I also had to do my research. And I think I learned so much. You know, you look at it from a monetary point of view, from a personal point of view. This to me was such a personal story. The design was my design. Like, and having friends and talking to people about what they went through as both published and self-published, I think that for me it made sense because I wanted control of the story. And you know, when you go with a publisher, the truth is it's going to be a nominal amount of money that you make. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll get an offer after you get a book agent and you put your proposal together. You know, but you're really not going to make much if you don't already have an audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for anyone who wants to self-publish, you have to say, okay, am I ready to give up some of this creative control? Do I have this concept? And do I need that assistance from an editor point of view, from a design point of view, from a distribution point of view? And, you know, I think looking back, yeah, it was a huge pain in my ass to learn all this stuff. And I've sunk more money into the book, you know, than I had hoped for. But the truth is everything from formatting, you know, to doing the audiobook, the Kindle version, the hard copy, where do you print? How are you shipping? Do you keep inventory? So it's all these things that you think, you know, wow, writing the book is so hard. Writing the book was easy compared to that other stuff.
Wow.
But truly it's, you become closer to your work. You have a greater respect for other people who go through that. And it's going through the trenches. And I think that, you know, because this book is a lot more personal, I really like that. I like that that's what came out of this. And sure, there are people, you know, some friends are like, well, you know, you should have gotten it. It's like, yeah, but then this book would have come out a year and a half later. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have the same insides. It wouldn't have the same outsides. And yeah, there'd probably be a couple less tense changes. But sure. Like at the end of the day, that's not like you're reading to get the feeling. You're not reading, picking it apart, being like, ah, he didn't put a comma here. Oh, that's the, like, that's not, sure, if you're an asshole, maybe that's what you're doing. Like,
or like an English major,
yeah,
or whatever.
And to be fair, I did that many times. And, you know, I had two friends of mine that edited it and went over it. And I had a lot of other friends read it. And there's always mistakes because when you're reading it, unless you have a line editor, right? And there's mm-hmm. a difference between a story editor and a line editor, yeah, which I didn't know. You know, that's just something that you've seen it so many times that you're like, how did I've read this book 17 times. How did I miss this huge typo?
Right, right, of course.
But you have to.
Right. And do you now look at yourself or think about yourself differently now that you are a published author of a book?
Man, every day I wake up. No.
look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror with a twinkle. I equate it to getting a college degree, right? Like, I don't think that someone can point out, oh, here are the things that I learned in college, and this is what it shows, and this is how it surfaces in my life. What it does is it shows that you took, you know, between 2 to 4 years or 8 years, and you accomplished something, mm-hmm. right? You put out a goal and you accomplished it. And that's the kind of the way I look at the book. It almost feels like an out-of-body experience, but I look at it and I'm like, holy crap.
Right.
And as, you know, one of our best friends said, as Josh said, he looks at it, he goes, I can't believe you wrote that many words and it wasn't for school, you know? And I think that's the crazy part.
Sure.
Is that it's there, it's done, it's there forever. And, you know, unlike creating a video or stuff like that, like this is a timeless medium. And I truly, like, it's just like anything else. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. And you look back and you forget how miserable at times it was and how many times you wanted to give up and how many times you went to stress eat in the kitchen.
Sure.
You know? So, you know, do I look at myself any differently? No, I think that I'm like, how did I do that? It almost doesn't feel like me.
Right, right. You're still acclimating to the fact that you wrote a book.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, do you have any advice for anybody who's listening who maybe is thinking about writing their own story?
I have a ton of advice.
Okay, give me like one or two pieces.
Yeah, I think that
I'll put your social media up if they want to reach out. Also, really quickly, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to plug for Ross just in case he doesn't. This book is on Amazon. You can get it. I got it in like 2 days. It's not that like crazy Amazon shipping. I will also link to this book and every book in the show notes. So you can check it out. You can go straight there. I'll link for you, but you can get the book easily. So it's not just because he's self-published doesn't mean you have to like drive to Kentucky and then talk to like a small knoll or like, yeah. A troll. There we go.
A knoll and a troll.
A troll on a knoll. Anyways, what's your advice for people who are thinking about writing a book?
I think that the biggest thing is to make an outline. Start with the end, because when you know where your story ends, it's a lot easier to see how to get there. Mm. So basically, you know, if you think of it in cue cards, like put all of the scenes of your story on note cards. And once you have that linear story, then you can rearrange them. And within that same note card, which you can treat as a scene or a chapter, go in and just like fire off all the things in your head, whether it's a quote, the way that someone, you know, says something, the texture of a room, the color of a light. All these things are essentially the details that are going to trigger your memory to fill in the blank. And that will help you do what I call write a shitty book. Because once you've written a shitty book,
you can make it good.
Then you can go back and repair all the things because you're breathing. You're like, okay, I know the structure, I see, and you can go back and that weight is off your shoulder.
Right.
So basically create the structure and write a shitty book.
Start writing.
Because that's the thing is that you get this concept of writer's block instead of, and what I've learned is that the best writers just throw that out the window. Mm-hmm. And they say, listen, this is just going to be a structure and we're going to sit down and we're going to write and we're going to get through this and then we can go back and retool
it. Fix
everything.
It and make it nice.
Yeah.
I love that. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for almost 4 years now, I have been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. They're at 52 iterations of their formula and counting. Their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and find the best quality ingredients available. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal. And trust me, there's a reason why I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because they totally obsess over product quality, the standards of manufacturing partners, and sustainable practices. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional bases and setting myself up for success in just 60 seconds each morning. AG1 ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes vitamin C and zinc to support my immune system, which is so important for me, especially with the germs that the mini stacks have running around and going to a cesspool called preschool. I've stayed partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product, and I genuinely look forward to drinking it every single day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/thestacks. That's drinkag1.com/thestacks. Check it out.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, let's move on from that and let's go to talk about how you read and what you like to read. So the first question, my favorite question, are what are two books that you love?
Two books that I love. One is The Last Lecture.
Ooh.
And the other is Steal Like an Artist.
Okay, and what is it about them that make you excited?
Man, The Last Lecture is just such a great life book.
For people who don't know, just tell them like a
Sure. So The Last Lecture is about a guy he's a professor who finds out that he's got terminal illness. And so this series is basically, instead of teaching the curriculum of the class, I'm getting chills talking about it. He basically goes through and teaches this class all of the lessons that he's learned through his life.
And it's a small book.
It's a very small
book.
It's just powerful. So amazing.
Yeah, that's a great one. And what was your second one?
Steal Like an Artist.
Okay.
And that's a pretty, it's barely a read. And it basically goes through how the history of art and repurposing, defining, you know, influence versus stealing versus people's outlooks. And especially it almost seems more relevant today than when it was published, just because of the repurposing of memes and beats and how everything feels like originality is such a tough thing
right.
to acquire. But it basically says that no matter what, the big takeaway is you cannot create an exact copy.
Right.
So no matter what, even if you're ripping someone, you're still creating your own.
Well, that's kind of like if you think about like tweets. Like there's some really amazing tweets that are hilarious that I love that are actually just responses to someone else's tweet.
Yep.
Like you took this tweet, you retweeted it, and then you just wrote like, bruh.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is the most genius bruh ever. Okay, what's a book that you hate?
The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People drive me nuts.
Okay. Why?
I just feel like that's the book that everyone has, but like – didn't even need to. That seems like an article to me.
What is it? It's like drink water or something.
I
go to bed early.
Yeah, I mean it's not that it's a. I should preface it by saying when it came out, it was much more kind of a big deal. But now that people are still kind of, I'm just like, maybe it just irks me because I just sound so clickbaity, even
sure.
though it was a book.
Sure.
Might have been like the original clickbait book.
Right. Sure.
But
that makes sense.
It's not that it's a bad book. It's just like, oh, gosh. It
yeah.
just annoys me.
Well, people always freak out. They don't want to say a book they hate. It's not a book that you hate. It's just like a book that you – it's not a book that's bad.
Yeah.
It's a book that you were
it's
like,
not a bad
no,
book. It's
you.
Got good stuff.
Sure. Lovely. If you like the book, it's fine. But like not for Ross.
Not me.
Okay. What's the last great book you read?
The last truly great book I read is called Operation Nemesis.
Okay, tell me about it.
Operation Nemesis, obviously a little more personal, is about the retaliation of the Armenian genocide.
Okay.
And it goes through basically after World War I, what the Armenian patriots did. They carried out all these assassination plots for the Turkish, like the basically the Ataturks that had ordered the Armenian genocide. And the Assyrians and I mean it's an insanely like well written story by Eric Bogosian, who's also an actor and a playwright, and it's part history, but it's again just incredulous the way that they carried out without money, without technology, and details when they wanted to murder the head Ataturk in broad daylight in Germany to put the story on trial, and because of the Germans' role and basically them turning an eye, this guy got acquitted for shooting this guy, killing him literally in the middle of the street with everyone looking.
Wow.
Like within no time, because
wow.
they didn't want to face the prosecution that would then of course unearth all of the war crimes during World War I.
Wow, that sounds really good.
It's amazing.
Sounds really good. Is it a long book?
No. like a 320.
Sure. Regular.
Regular normal size book.
Sure, average. Okay, what are you currently reading?
I have just picked up a book called The Trauma Cleaner.
Okay.
And
wait, I've heard of this. I've heard of this.
Yes. And it is a friend of mine. She also just won a huge prize in Australia. It just came out in America, and it's basically about this woman who cleans these apartments and crafts all these stories of wealthy people.
Well, it's like deep cleans, right?
Deep cleans.
It's like when something bad happens.
Well, think about, you know, like if someone's a cleaner in a house, they're seeing what pills you take. They're seeing all of the little nuances, you know, whether it's notes or, you know, whatever it is.
Like, what's in your, what kind of cereal
you eat? I'm saying, what's in your stuff?
Yeah. Oh my God, that sounds so good.
Yeah.
Okay, what's a book that you're maybe looking forward to reading?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading this book called Sapiens, which is basically the history of mankind.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up to that, which is Homo Deus, which is the history of tomorrow.
Okay, yes. And those both, I think one of those books was nominated for like a, was shortlisted for Pulitzer or something.
I think Sapiens was.
Yeah. How do you pick your next book?
I just look on my friend's bookshelves and then ask to borrow those books.
A little thievery.
Kind of.
Okay, well, what's a book that you like to give back to your friends in return, something you like to recommend to them?
A lot of people have read it, but like I think that Outliers is a great – it's such a great book.
Good.
And it's one of those ones that people know about, but I think not everyone has actually read. Mm-hmm. And it also gets just lost in the sea of Malcolm Gladwell books because they all look the same. You're like, oh, I think I read that one.
Well, I say that I've read all of Malcolm Gladwell, but I actually realized I don't think I ever read The Tipping Point.
Ooh,
that was the first one.
Yeah,
but I've read Outliers and I've read Blink and I've read What the Dog Saw and I don't remember – so I own it.
Mm.
So that's why I think I read it, but I don't think I did.
Close.
I don't know. What's the best book you've ever received as a gift?
Jim Henson's biography.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's just an amazing character. And as a younger Muppet fan, it was just cool to read the story of this incredibly creative, generous, you know, guy who was able to kind of take what was in his head and create not only something that was incredibly artistic, but also just gifted the world this incredible community. And obviously then, you know, led into the film and everything. I mean, it's just, and there's just so much to him.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I would never think of him like that. I mean, obviously he's creative, but I would never think that I'd want to read a book about him.
Of course.
Are there any genres that you love or that you maybe are super not into?
I tend to like biographies and just like stories of like real life stories, like what people go through. Also just deep dives into psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I try to read philosophy, but it's really hard to like read that like more than once a year.
Or ever. If you're me. How do you read? Ebook? Whatever Kindle thing?
I've kind of, it just depends. I think that audiobooks are great if you have, if like a performance is such a big thing.
Mm.
So if you found someone who like reads really well,
mm-hmm.
I also like when authors read the books.
I love when authors read
the books. That's almost like a must for me.
Unless it's fiction.
Yes, correct.
If the author reads a book and it's fiction, sometimes I'm like,
they don't
not
usually
an
line
actor.
Up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But generally, I mean, I'm a paperback guy.
Okay. Is there any audiobook that sticks out in your head as one that you really love besides your own?
Ooh.
no, that's on the spot.
Yeah, there's a book called something about the lobster. It's like a feel for the lobster.
I can look it up. I'll come up with it. I'll find it for you. Okay, where do you read?
Consider the Lobster.
And that was a good audiobook.
That was a good audiobook.
So you could get that on Audible at www.theaudibletrial.com/thesax. Cool.
Boom.
Consider the Lobster. Okay, where do you read, or like what's your ideal reading setup?
I am a big sunlight reader.
Okay.
I don't like to read under like fluorescent lights or like, you know, those weird color temperatures. I like reading when there's daylight.
Okay.
So mornings, you know, whatever that is.
Interesting. So you don't read before bed?
No, I'll fall asleep.
Okay. And that's how I fall asleep.
100%.
Okay. What was the last book that made you laugh?
Bossy Pants.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. I hated it.
Really?
I don't like comedy books.
You don't like comedies.
I laughed at your book, and I laughed like a few times at other books, but I was like, ugh, goodbye.
It's really hard to, it's really hard to like make someone laugh.
Especially when you're reading.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. But people love that book.
It's a great book.
And love her.
Yeah.
And the cover is fantastic.
Yeah.
What's the last book that made you cry?
This was a book. It's a war book called As You Were, and it's To War and Back with the Black Hawk Battalion.
Okay.
And it was just, I mean, I think this was also, you know, like earlier, like 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. I think when the like war felt a lot more tangible, we were going through a lot of change, you know, with Obama coming in. And I think that just like, again, you get so desensitized because, mm-hmm. especially with war, even film and VR, like, you know, you feel like you're there, but you don't really sit with yourself mm-hmm. because you're almost a passive observer. When I read about it and when I read these personal stories, that totally changed, I think, what I, the way that I perceive the personal experience in war.
Sure. That sounds great. What was the last book that made you angry?
This would also be Operation Nemesis.
Okay.
Because that
okay.
was the genocide okay. book.
Got it. What's a book where you feel like you learned a lot?
Going back to Malcolm Gladwell, I think like Blink really, I think Blink was a great book. Like
that's the one where it's like in 7 seconds, you know.
Yeah. And the, you know, and it's just like priming, you know, your brain and like the idea of doing less often means that you know more.
Sure.
Just the way that was framed
the
in the studies.
The way he thinks. You know, he has a podcast. Have you ever listened to
it? Yeah,
Revisionist
yeah.
Histories?
Yeah.
So incredibly
it's
good.
It's so good.
Oh, my God. Okay, what's a book that you're embarrassed to have read?
I read Mindy Kaling's Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me?
Okay.
I thought it was a great book, but it feels weird to hold that book up.
Sure, why not? You just said Bossy Pants. Yeah. It's like right the same world.
Yeah, kind of in the same world.
I haven't read it.
So yeah, like, but you know, like Mindy's just more of like a,
yeah.
Hey guys.
I saw her walking down the street the other day and I like got like, oh, there she is.
Yeah, because she could be your buddy.
Yeah, she's so cool. Okay, what's a book that you feel embarrassed to have never read?
I have never read Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, consider yourself lucky.
Really?
Oh my God, I hate that book.
Really?
Yeah, no thanks. I think if you read it, if you're a young man and you read it when you're like 16,
it
might change your whole life forever. Mm. I read it when I was like 25 and I'm a black girl and I was like, what? Who cares? I was like, all right, bye Holden. Like, get your life, boo. Goodbye. But it's really polarizing. I think some books are meant to be read at certain points in your life, especially like classics. And I feel like that book is like, if you read it when you're 16, you're going to be like, yo, angst. And if you read it when you're 30, you're going to be like, kid,
what the heck is
it
this?
Gets better.
Yeah.
But you know, it's super short. You could read it quick.
Yeah.
What's a favorite book from your childhood?
I would have to say The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, that was a movie too.
That was a movie. I mean, that's, I mean, like everyone who reads a movie, you know, it's like the, but that book at the time, I just, you know, you, I don't know, as like a, you identify with it. Like, sure. Oh, if you're like a, the nerd in the corner that like has these feelings and identifies with music, like that to me, I was like, oh man. Like,
I feel this.
This is like a, it's almost like a comforting book.
Well, that kind of leads me into my next question. What's a book where you saw yourself reflected back?
Steve Martin's biography is called Born Standing Up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great book. And it's hard because I think that what I saw reflected was his desire to create, but also satisfy the mainstream of being a comedian and an entertainer. Mm. But his almost disdain for the fact that what that does is that, you know, the audience only wants to see the same thing. And as an artist, you want to keep creating new stuff. And I thought that the way that, I mean, he's brilliant. Like he's a mm-hmm. brilliant writer and a brilliant comedian and so intelligent. And it was really cool to see like the struggles of, and what I saw identifying personally was like this divide between creating for a living, so creating what you think the people want, and feeding that system versus veering off and trying something new.
Sure.
You know, and as someone who struggles to find the proper medium to get the thing out,
right,
whether that's a book or a film or a performance, I was like, oh man, like I'm glad that it's not like, oh, if you found success and everything's happy.
You know?
And I thought that was, and just obviously him as a person is amazing.
That's so cool. Okay. What is a book that you've read that you thought maybe like this would be a really good movie or TV show or something?
I think they've actually done a derivative of this, but there's a book called Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff,
mm-hmm.
which is like the story mm-hmm. of like Jesus's brother or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a really funny, if they were to make it, it'd be hard because it's, again, it would have like some subversive Christian content mm-hmm. and it would feel a little too satirical.
I see.
But I think that if someone were to write that really like well and able to pay homage, mm-hmm. but still do the jokes.
Yeah.
I think it would be a really funny film.
I love that. Okay, this is my favorite question that I stole from New York Times, because they're smart over there. If you could require the president to read one book, what would it be?
I mean, I just had to put in, the first thing that comes to mind for me would be Tuesdays with Maury.
Cause, sure.
Because that's just like, again, it's just a human story. And I mean, you can go so many different directions with this question, but this is like the ultimate, I mean, I would almost be like the Little Prince.
Sure.
Right? Because I feel like it'd be more at reading level.
Sure.
But, you know, it would be a toss up.
Sure. That's so good. Okay. So this is the diversify books portion. I started this little hashtag to get people thinking about books that they maybe aren't seeing or aren't getting all the buzz of, you know, the more popular Oprah book club or Reese Witherspoon book club or whatever it is, the ones that aren't facing out at the bookstore. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask you these questions and it can just be quick response.
Yeah.
What's a book you love from before social media times?
I'm going to give you a repeat and say Tuesdays with Maury.
Love. A book you love by a person of a different ethnicity from you?
Would be This Is How You Lose Her by, I want to say, Juno Diaz.
Sure. We'll go with it. A book you're looking forward to reading by or about people of color?
Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race.
Okay. A book you love that you rarely hear people talk about?
It's a book called The Power of Negative Thinking.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. And a book you loved from a genre you don't normally read, and then whatever that genre is.
I would be Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
What is the genre?
That, I mean, that's kind of like
fantasy.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't really ever read that stuff.
And you liked it.
I loved it.
I've never read it. Amazing. Okay. Anything else you want to add about reading or anything, your book, anything like that?
Get it on Audible.
Get it on Audible.
Get it on Audible.
So Ross and I will be back next week. We're going to be discussing Charles Duhigg's book, The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business. So we're going to be doing a little dive into that. That will be that first Wednesday in July. So we will be back next week. Thank you so much, Ross.
Thank you.
All right, that does it for us this week on The Stack. Thank you to our guest, Ross Asdourian. He will be back next week as we discuss The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. Also, want to remind you to rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget, you can become a member of The Stacks Pack by going to patreon.com/thestacks and contributing to the work that we do here. It is so greatly appreciated. Our graphic designer here at The Stacks is Robin McCrite. Our theme music comes from Tagirigis, and this show was created and produced by me, Tracy Thomas. See you all in The Stacks.